Hello there. Now, I know at this stage you don't intend to vote Liberal. Before you actually cast your vote, could you just keep a couple of things in mind? We have run the economy well. The government's disastrous policies have crippled a once thriving economy. We have more people in work now than at any time over the last 30 years. Real wages have grown. And in addition to that, we have invested very heavily in social security. We haven't dismantled Medicare. We've actually, and in a lot of other areas, we've pioneered social reforms and changes.
These events on the waterfront are a defining moment in Australia's industrial relations history. I believe that Australia is a tolerant nation. I do not take the black armband view of Australian history.
Every nation has the right to effectively control its borders and to decide who comes here and under what circumstances. And Australia has no intention of surrendering or compromising that right. And we will take whatever action is needed within the law, of course, to prevent that occurring.
So before you cast that all-important ballot of yours, just keep those things in mind, and perhaps you might at the last moment decide to vote Liberal.
The following program contains strong language, left-wing political comment, and offensive line.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Alles einsteigen, bitte! Türen schließen! Das Blumenpflücken während der Fahrt ist verboten!
State of war would exist sooner. This country is at war.
I, your leader, will see you safely through to a better world! And now, a walk in the Black Forest.
I'm feeling jaunty. I don't know why. Just jaunty.
So Geordie got up and left the room?
Yeah, exactly right.
Something like that. Good evening and welcome to The Revolution, A Walk in the Black Forest, episode 277. On tonight's show... What?
No. You keep looking at me as if I've got something to say. You know what? I have nothing to say. Because I've been spouting the same stuff for 6 months, and I'm just going to do exactly the same thing tonight. Thank you. Prediction come true. You can thank me later. Pinch me in for 3 years and I'll tell you what happens then.
Vive la Révolution.
Good Lord. On tonight's show, the Socialist Revolution. Democracy returns, pole smoking, the contenders line up, the leadership for sale, all that, and the rest head home with their bats under their arms. A walk in the Black Forest, returning Australia back to the people.
Vive la Révolution.
Play Frenchie.
On earth that we would contemplate during the life of this government introducing the GST.
The victims of Noah.
And we were all victims of Noah in some
way. We have been victims of Noah in many, many ways. And that was the track John Howard, which maybe we have played on this show for the last time.
We may have.
We may have played that song on the show for the last time.
I didn't even think of that, actually. That's quite sad.
The anger... The anger is gone.
I can think of something else if you'd like.
That's okay. There's plenty of other people to get pissed off about. Don't worry, I'm there.
It's more focused, I think.
The anger will be more focused. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, this is a Welcome Back for us. You're on 2RRR 88.5.
Vive la Révolution.
Vive la Révolution. And yes, you would be surprised if you are listening to this program that perhaps this program will be a little bit jam-packed with material.
Just a bit. One or two things.
I don't know. I mean, the election's over, so there goes all our material.
True. So what did you get up to on the weekend? Not much?
I don't know.
I didn't do much. You did.
I went to the Christmas parade.
Played cricket. Yeah, yeah, played cricket. No, I didn't play cricket. I was hanging amongst the community radio faithful. That was fun. Yeah, I had a bit of cake.
Right.
It was nice.
So shall we?
Had a beer or two. It was pleasant. Yeah, let's start this because, you know what, there's
a lot to say. Can we talk about the complete and utter caning?
Now, there's a few things. I want to start a few very important things at this point. I want to point out that, number one, the polls were actually right, as I'm sure you'll be pointing out in your poll-smoking segment.
Yeah, they were.
The polls were correct, and in fact...
Well, the ones that said it would be an utter fucking landslide, those ones,
yeah.
They were correct.
Now, I watched...
How do you say 87 seats? 87 seats. 87 seats.
I actually prefer the term Rudslide.
Yes, I love that classic.
I
was watching a number of different telecasts during the night, and as soon as that came up, and I think Channel 7 coined it, they're the ones who said it, and Mark Riley, who I think is their political guy, is actually quite cool. He's quite cool with some of the things he said. Basically just at some point or other turned to Jackie Kelly and went, "Well, it's a Rudslide, isn't it, really?" And she just teared up. I'm sorry, I just have to say, one of the highlights of the evening for me was see Jackie Kelly tear up and leave.
And realise that she had probably, I don't think she cost the Liberals the election because they were going to lose anyway, but she typified the loss.
Yeah, and the arrogance and the race baiting.
The hubris.
Is it interesting that every election that John Howard has won or contested within the last 11 years, obviously he's won them all. Strangely enough, I'll just rewind that and cut that out later on.
Sure.
He has race baited in some way or another. Marginalised people race baited in some way or another. So they try it for this election and it doesn't work. In fact, they lose two seats doing it.
Well, I think the swing in Lindsay turned out to be over 10%.
It's 13, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, way against the swing against the rest of the state. Surprisingly, I think a lot of that had to do with the fact... of that campaign. And one of the great things, there was a great image in today's paper of Karen Chitkoff's old, her election truck. And instead of saying Karen Chitkoff, it just, someone had written over the top, Karen Pissoff. Which I thought was, and I love the line she said after it. She said, she was asked about her husband, who of course was the person who did flyer, for those of you who are not in Australia and don't know the story, flyered all the electorates in their houses in Lindsay with a fake pro-Muslim, a fake Muslim extremist vote for the Labour Party.
Yeah. That's right.
She said, "I haven't actually spoken with my husband since Friday. He is not in the house, and we'll be meeting next week to discuss our differences."
Yes, which includes...
He ain't getting any!
Which includes divorce and not wearing the wedding ring anymore.
Yeah, it probably does.
Oh, come on, they had to be cahoots, didn't they?
Absolutely.
Yes, I think this is her saving face.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's her and Jackie Kelly's saving face, definitely. And it was interesting on the night, because she's like, oh, you know, I have to stand by my husband, and I've said this and I've said that, but she was absolutely shot down.
Now, the other two images for me that were very, very strong was, I'll start with the lesser of the two. Start with Nick Minchin. Now, for those of you who watched the, he was on the
ABC
coverage. Yep. Nick Minchin was sitting there. Sitting next to Julia. standing there with like he big shoulders out there at the start of the night, you know. Yeah, this is looking all right. Yeah, I'm feeling positive. By the time the night had finished, he was the size of a dwarf.
Yep.
He was just shrunken into this little ball.
All credit to the git.
Yep.
He didn't try and cover up for any of the things, and when it would look like the swing was on, he would call it as it was.
Yeah,
All credit to him for doing that.
Yeah, that's unlike Andrew Robb on Channel 7 and Jeff Kennett also on Channel 7.
Yep.
And the guy from Victoria who was on Channel 9,
Michael Kroger. Liberal power broker.
All of those guys were basically were backpedaling. Now, interestingly enough,
and hoping to take Costello's seat. Apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, really?
Is he?
Well, that's the rumour.
It's interesting that Kennett and Beattie butted heads all night, quite viciously. And at some point, Jeff Kennett said, "Oh, look, these numbers that are coming in now, they don't correlate to anything. These aren't the numbers that we've done it. By the end of the night,
it was worse.
Yeah, by the end of the night, you'll see that these numbers have no reflection on the numbers we have.
And, they were worse."
And Peter Beattie leans across the desk and goes, "Jeff, shut up. Your pre-polling doesn't matter now. You're losing."
And he goes, oh, all right. For me, the biggest defining image, and I should explain where I was. You guys were in different locations, obviously, but I was in a...
I was in Bennelong.
You're in Bennelong. I was in a ballroom in Melbourne, actually, in Peter Costello's seat of Higgins. And I got to heckle some Peter Costello's people walking down Chapel Street in Prahran. They were like wearing their little Peter Costello t-shirts, and I just walked past them and said, fuckwits. which was fun.
Well,
I enjoyed that.
The truth hurts.
The truth does hurt. So I was in there. I was amongst 300-odd community radio people. And as I said to Richard, probably one of the most powerful images for me was watching a group of Indigenous broadcasters who had earlier the day before, had an impassioned plea for the ending of the...
The invasion
of Northern Territory. And some of the stories they told were just horrendous. Watching when both Howard lost his seat and Brough lost his seat, watching them watch that coverage with tears in their eyes. They had tears streaming down their face because something had actually happened.
Yeah, yeah.
There's someone out there who's actually going to make a difference. And their dislike of people like Noel Pearson is almost tangible.
Now, it's interesting because what people need to remember, and if you're not aware, Noel Pearson is one of the mouthpieces of Oz, probably the Aboriginal movement in Australia, and certainly was for a long time. Noel Pearson is a member of the Liberal Party.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay? He's a conservative. He would like to get pre-selection from the Liberal Party for some kind of seat.
Yep.
You cannot listen to him as a
voice of his people.
It's going to be a bit hard for them to find a seat.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
that's winnable. That's the hard part.
Oh, we can't be too arrogant. Come on. So let's sound like the government.
Yeah, but have a look at some of those margins.
They're only lucky that the Senate doesn't rotate every 4 years. Yeah,
exactly.
Well.
Actually, the Senate race in 6 months is going to be interesting.
It's going to be fun, isn't it?
Now, the interesting thing is if Rudd does keep this up, if Rudd keeps up this revolution that he's talking about, and he is talking about a revolution, and frankly, this is going to sound like a big friggin' girl, I'm actually excited. Whenever he says it, he said, I'm going to get all my ministers, I want everyone to go to a school in their electorate, a public school and a private school, and report back, and I want it by the end of the week. He says to the Governor-General, I want everyone sworn in by Friday, we're meeting on the caucus is meeting on Monday, and the government starts on Monday morning at 9 o'clock.
Oh, look.
Should we go back to the actual night?
Yes.
That was the most exciting night of the last 15 years.
At least.
At least. Probably since in politics, certainly, since Keating got in.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah?
Yep.
So what's that, 91? The big one, 93. So the weird thing for me about the whole night is it sort of crept up. Mm. And you didn't really realise that it had happened until you looked back a couple of hours and like, oh, yeah, we have. We've actually won by a landslide. And you look back and you go, when did that happen? And you don't really realise.
It was because
It
was because people like Julia Gillard didn't show that hubris of winning.
Yeah, gloat and stuff.
She was sitting there just going, look, you know, Kerry, we'll see how it goes. We're not entirely sure. It'll, I'm feeling confident, but just, you know, let's just wait.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it was watching, and I don't think the coverage tended to show a lot of the... I didn't think I saw a lot of the Liberals declaring that they lost. There wasn't a lot... The coverage was a lot of analysis.
They didn't show too many seats.
Isn't it interesting that Tony Abbott was missing from all the coverage? Did anyone talk to Tony Abbott on the night?
Story of Tony Abbott the last 2 years. Anyway.
Well, it's interesting, actually, that you bring that up and the coverage in general, because... I was watching all of the stations when I could, and occasionally I'd rock over and, you know, The Empire Strikes Back was on Channel 10, so that was...
Oh, really? All right.
No. Turn back. So, anyway.
Dan. I think we're going well here, Kerry. Dan.
That would have been nice.
Actually, that would have been a good... I like that. I might do something with that next week. Now, it was interesting because it's probably one of the most respected political commentators by the media in Australia is Laurie Oakes, right? Mm-hmm. The media people go, Laurie Oakes, he knows.
He didn't
know, he didn't have a clue. All of a sudden, the numbers just started changing. And I noticed on Channel 7 they had a little meter down the bottom, seats 1. It was Coalition 1, Labor 1, Labor 2, Labor 5, Labor 7, Coalition 3, Labor 10, Labor 15, Coalition 6. Yeah. And it was going up and up really quickly. And going across to see Laurie Oakes, he had no idea it was going to happen until about 8:30 when he called Bennelong as being a Labor victory.
Yeah.
And there was a point where he goes, and there's a tally up the top of the screen, like seats gained, and it goes to 80 up the top. Yeah. Labor had gained 80 seats. And really all I wanted was about 18. Yeah. I just wanted it to be 18. All right, I didn't care. That's 2 seats extra. I don't care. That's enough to rule. And I flick over and it says frickin' 80, and Laurie Oakes is going, well, the Prime Minister's lost his seat, Mal Brough's lost it, and they went through this thing of who lost their seat. Four ministers, the Prime Minister. Yeah. Just, it rattled off. It was an incredibly exciting thing, and I think it was smart that at the end, when Kevin Rudd did do his very overly long speech, I think, he talked about the revolution. He said, it's a revolution, it's time to change, we're doing all these things, this is what's happening. It wasn't just the usual speech, you know? Yeah. And the even the commentators on TV picked up on the excitement, apart from Mel and Koshy, who had no idea what was going on. But everyone else seemed to be really excited by
But when they crossed to Nelson over in Hollywood, he had a total idea what was going down.
He was good. Nelson knows his stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the interesting thing, I was saying this to Richard before outside, I started watching the coverage at 5:30. Mm-hmm. Now, because Sky went live from 5. And Sky had... the guy who chaired the debate.
Oh, that wanker, yeah.
And they had two guests of relatively minor importance. Nothing particularly great. Because
that's
most
good
of them
for
were
Sky, isn't it?
But so Sky at 5:30 announced that they were actually calling the election.
Oh, really?
They called it at 5:30.
Oh, it's not. I was happy with calling it at 7.
Based on the exit polls.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They called it based on the exit polls.
But where were they? You know, how many exit polls do they have? You know?
They had... the exit poll was about 2,500 people across South Australia around to Queensland, based on coalition marginal seats.
Right, okay.
Which was a reasonable piece of polling.
Yeah.
You wouldn't pick it on the other seats because they blur it out. Not including WA because the polls had obviously weren't going to close for another 3 hours in WA.
Do they happen to take Tasmania into account?
Yes. Oh, yeah, sorry. Now, I'm talking like South Australia round to Queensland. Now, the interesting thing was the next person they brought on at 5:30, because they had Hawkey.
Oh,
are they really?
So there's Hawkey sitting there, and he's leaning over the desk like he's well pierced.
Oh, right.
But he wouldn't be because he's
a teetotaler.
He's
now.
A teetotaler, and he's going, yeah, it's looking pretty good actually. Yeah, you've
Oh, that was good.
he just
political.
Good informed opinion there.
And then he disappeared off the set for half an hour, and then came back on and looked much better.
Oh, good.
So obviously he got rid of it all.
Oh, good idea. Right.
But so Sky called at 5:30. I went downstairs.
That's just stupid.
it's a little bit stupid. I don't think. How many of the networks called it before Howard came out? Even though it was like miles ahead, because I couldn't watch the whole coverage.
I only watched the ABC, so all I know from them is they pretty much called it from about 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
9 had it from 8:30, 7 had it from around about, they had it earlier, but they weren't saying anything, they only said it about 9, from what I saw.
Yeah.
And
which is more of that sort of, it had happened way earlier,
but
it hadn't really been reported.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Realized, yeah.
I honestly think they had no idea what was going on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really think that the media completely missed the groundswell. And the thing that's interesting for me is that you listen to some of these talkback guys, and they're like, oh, well, you know, if more people had voted, if this, if that, oh, well, you know, it's
more people had voted.
I know.
More than the country.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
What, we throw in New Zealand as well?
Yeah,
we'll throw
New Zealand in.
Yeah,
why not?
Throw in Texas?
Yeah.
But they just
Nauru?
Nauru, actually, that's not a bad idea. Yeah. They just seem to completely miss the boat.
Yeah, totally.
Without any Tampa pun going on here. But it was interesting when they finally saw the coverage and that Mel in the Mel and Koshy thing kept going, this is amazing, you know, with a government that's made, you know, helped us do so well economically. It's not about economics.
No, it's not.
It's about the fact that people have had enough.
They have. And you know, I think that the rewriting of history that's occurring at the moment, and there's two pieces of rewritings going on. Number one is, this wouldn't have happened if Costello was in charge. That's the first piece of rewriting, which I think comes out of the member for Higgins'
personal memoirs.
His own personal memoirs. So that's number one. That is bullshit rewrite history, and I love Julia Gillard, who said, you know, people are going to say this, actually, Kerry, but you know what? With Peter Costello, it would have been worse.
Yes, it would have.
So that's number one rewriting history. The other thing that's rewriting history is that people are going, well, it's not that they didn't like John Howard, and it's not that he did a bad job. He actually did a really good job, and the economy's great, and they were a really good government. They just got a bit bored with him.
Mm. They just wanted a bit of a change.
Just wanted a bit of a change. Fucking bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah,
there was so much hatred of this man in the electorate, and you go around, like, I watched 300 people stand on their feet and cheer their lungs out when that man stood there and said, I have rung Mr. Rudd and congratulated him on an emphatic victory. Okay, granted, they were community radio people, which generally, like us, are, you know, fairly right-wing free thinkers. But you know what? I walked around the streets of Melbourne, and as I said, I walked around Lindsay Tanner's seat of Melbourne, and I walked around Costello's seat of Higgins. People were happy. You talk to people at the conference and say, how you doing? And they go, oh, so much fucking better after yesterday. And it's just...
Yeah, it's true.
There is so much... There was so much vitriol about this man. And I hate this rewriting that started on the election coverage night.
It won't last, though, because already you can see the tide turning.
Yeah.
Including people like... well, we'll get to this in a minute. Yeah. But, you know, Turnbull, Costello and Brendan Nelson all saying, you know... Okay, we're not bound to the policies of the last party.
Maybe it was a bad idea.
So already the Liberal Party is already saying, okay, you're right. But you're right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and that's a good point because for so long everyone's going, oh, this is the direction of the government, this is the best direction for Australia, which isn't true. It's Howard's vision.
Yeah.
It was always Howard's vision and always the vision that the smaller Liberals, the majority of the rank and file, not the parliamentary party, the rank and file had a problem with.
What
they do is they foolishly back him. You shouldn't do that.
Wasn't that one of the things that Keating said in his first column after the election? This is actually a victory for those smaller Liberals.
Yeah.
Petra Georgiou, Malcolm Fraser, Judy Moylan, what's left of
Brendan
the smaller...
Brendan
Nelson, to some extent. What's left of the smaller Liberal in the Liberal Party, which is basically like a rat's rump.
Mm.
That's about the size of what's left. And that isn't very big.
Mm. Well, it's interesting.
I eat a lot of food and stuff.
It's interesting because the vast majority of the...
Quite sexy.
Oh, God. The vast majority of the smaller Liberals disappeared to form the Democrats, who now no longer exist.
Yes.
They have now officially lost party status. They are now listed on electoral ballots as... Other.
Yes, they are. I know. And you know the funny thing? I actually looked it up to look at the results. They are listed as other. They're not there.
They're gone.
In fact, the CLP's there, and they're not there.
Yeah. I know.
It's a pretty sad defeat for the Democrats, but basically they're a wishy-washy bunch of fools.
But on the other hand, the big win was for the Greens.
Yes.
Huge.
Yes and no, actually. I'd like to... the Green vote actually fell by 2.1%.
Mm.
Its Green primary vote fell by 2.1%. They lost Kerry Nettle in Sydney.
Yeah, sure.
Which in New South Wales. And they've picked up one extra senator. The sad thing in the Senate is that they do not have the balance of power. Labor will rely on either anti-pokies campaigner Nick Xenophon or Stephen Fielding.
Mm.
And I was going to insert a reference in there, but I decided against it.
Yeah, that's not...
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! But, yeah, so they're going to rely on having to deal with one of them and the Greens.
Yeah, sure.
And the comment I made earlier in the week was, I don't think that will result in good legislation. If Labor just had to negotiate with the Greens...
Oh, sure.
...that would be a much better legislation than... Well, now we're going to have a legislation that's going to eliminate work choices, but right at the bottom, and by the way, we actually have to remove ATMs from all pokey lounges.
Yeah,
but
sure.
On the other hand, maybe if you're looking at the key legislation within the first 6 months before the next Senate elections...
Well, the Senate turnover, yeah.
Or the Senate turnover, as the case may be. So you look at the... If you actually look at that, then... You know, we're looking at education, you're looking at hospitals, you're looking at that big kind of stuff, which Family First aren't going to fight.
Yeah, but it's not even that. For the next
In
7
fact,
months...
the Liberals aren't probably going to
fight. Yeah, but for the next 7 months, the Liberals actually control the Senate.
Mm.
They still have the balance of power in Senate, because in the two territory elections, nothing changed. And they were the only senators that take their places in the Senate immediately.
So, sure, but part of that is going to be, as the Liberals gradually pull themselves into line with what is now mainstream Australia, a lot of that... I'm assuming a lot of those policies from the Labor Party will go through.
Yeah.
You know? A lot of the environmental stuff now, it's obvious that most of the Liberals actually agree that we should be doing something about it.
And a lot of them agree at the end of work choices. And
yeah, and a lot of the education stuff is close to what they were spouting.
Yeah. Yeah.
They think health should be fixed, you know.
They can't argue against
their problem, but, you know, all that sort of stuff. So I don't think it's going to be we're not going to let anything through because we're not going to roll the Senate. Right?
I think it's only when a couple of, people like Albie Schultz, poke his head up and go, ah! Other than that, it's...
We don't even know what he's going to do.
Well, Albie Schultz.
Well, yes.
Well,
but the interesting thing I found about the Greens, I didn't know that they were down 2.1%.
They were down 2.1%.
What's that, just primary vote.
Primary vote down 2.1%.
But if you look through each of the electorates as they were going through, the votes were huge, and I don't know, maybe they were that high last time, but they certainly weren't the election before.
No, they were
a minor party. But you going through 16%, 20%, 25%, 18%, single seat was, you know, a quarter of the vote.
They
are
clearly the third force in Australian politics, and if that converted into the Senate, they would clearly hold the balance of power.
Yes, that's
right. I don't know why it doesn't convert into the Senate. I think people are, knowing that they can vote green in certain seats, knowing that it's not going to hurt the Labor Party, knowing that if they vote green in the Senate, it may knock out Labor Party and benefit the Liberals.
Isn't it all the Liberal Liberals? It's the Liberal Liberals who didn't want to vote for Kevin Rudd because it's the ALP.
You're right.
There's so they vote for the Greens.
Yeah, it could be.
They get an ALP vote, but they're not actually voting for the ALP.
That's exactly what
Bob Brown came out and said over the weekend, you know. The reason why we have Kevin Rudd in power now is thanks to the Greens.
Oh, it totally is. So there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Those preferences got Labor over the line, although they were here on primary vote by quite a few percent.
Yeah, right.
Because the Nationals are dead. Yes. Another great outcome of the night was watching...
That's awesome, isn't it?
Was watching... can I just point out about Deanne Kelly?
Mm.
No, I hate Deanne Kelly. I hate her with an absolute passion.
What?
She is a real obsequious... And of course, you texted me about Dana Vale, but she ended up keeping her seat.
Yeah, I know. I was surprised.
But Deanne Kelly is another one in that Dana Vale style of almost school mommy politician. She rubbed me up the wrong way.
She was part of Howard's female revolution.
She had a swing of 11.8% against her in a national held seat. The Nationals, I believe, now are down to 10. Mm. Count them on two hands.
In fact, you can always kick them out of the coalition and it wouldn't matter.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah, let's not talk about how Howard got in anyway, not off his own bat. That's the annoying thing. The Liberals never won power.
No, they never... And this argument...
The
argument that the Greens, well, Labor wouldn't have been in if it wasn't for the Greens. Well, the Liberals wouldn't be in there if it wasn't for the country party.
For the right-wing racist country people.
Yeah.
Yep. So we quickly go through... who got done?
Yes.
Who not got done?
Yep.
You mentioned the Nationals. Although he didn't get done, he did over, was it today or the day before, Mark Vaile.
Has
that grimy little retarded frog man.
Write that one down. That's a good one.
I think I will.
Yeah.
Who was just, at the coalition campaign launch, just showed that he actually is retarded. I seriously think he has a medical problem and he should have it looked at. But he came out and resigned today. Resigned as leader of the National
Party, yep.
And I think he'll just let his term run out. Or like most grovelling little turds without any guts, will leave in about 18 months' time, causing a by-election at the government's expense.
Now, can we point out with Mark Vaile particularly...
Who bawled his eyes out today.
He did bawl his eyes out.
By the way, because he's a grovelling little racist dickhead.
who delivered us... the USA-Australia Free Trade Agreement.
Ah, yes, good man.
See...
Now, there's a negotiator for you.
Yeah, see, you know, I'm a big believer in karma, and the fact that he
was done by free trade.
Done by free trade, that's the end of that man. I don't think they're happy with our choice of wall decorations.
Oh, really? Yeah. I think they're actually talking about Richard.
Oh, they're talking about Richard.
Mark Vaile, of course, he's the man who at the coalition campaign launch came out and said, yes, the population of Australia demand that the health system be fixed.
Yes, exactly. So we've lost Mark Vaile.
We have. We lost.
So let's go through the ones who actually lost their seats on the
night. Still sitting there like a rotten stench on a plank.
Exactly.
But,
he'll disappear.
Give him 3 years, he'll
be gone. We'll start at the top. Little Johnny, of course. It's quite funny, actually, because there are seats with smaller margins that Maxine currently holds over Johnny that have been called. They're not calling this one. Even though she holds a lead of 2,700 after 80% of the vote counted.
There's 7,000 to go, 7,000 postals.
So unless Howard gets 5,500 of those, he is gone.
Which isn't out of the question. Because
that's right,
postals
that's not out of the question.
Typically are for the incumbent, particularly for a prime minister, and that may be the reason why they're calling it.
Ah, no, but there's an interesting one, because they actually reckon a good 25% of the postals have come from Hong Kong.
Oh.
Where there's
yes, the whole thing.
And there's been Kevin Rudd billboards in the main street of Hong Kong. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Didn't we talk about that last week?
No.
It was in the papers last week. So, there's a big vote coming from there, and of course, there was a real turn against Howard from the Korean and Chinese populations in Eastwood and Epping.
Well,
and
it's because
like
he's a racist wanker.
Correct. Now, let's look at the ones that actually we do know they're gone. Melbourne.
But just talk about Howard just for a second. Yep. I know we'll come back to him later. Yep. But, do you think if Maxine, because we haven't talked about, we'll get to Maxine, which is the huge story of the evening. Do you think if it wasn't Maxine,
yep,
how well Howard would have done? Whether he actually would have pulled it out of the bag? I think he probably might have done.
I think he would have too.
Mm. Yeah. Well, on the other hand, Maxine was smart because Maxine... Sorry, Ms. McHugh.
Yes,
Ms. McHugh actually... Well, this is what I don't get. I'm just going to say this very quickly. Why is everyone calling her Maxine and John Howard Mr. Howard?
Because he's a dick and she's nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway...
She shook my hand.
She... Dude, well, of course she was shaking your hand. You were holding her balloons.
Yeah,
that's true.
Give me back my balloons, you bastard.
So, and filming them.
Now, she played it. She did a grassroots campaign.
Yep.
She had very grassroots.
She could do what Howard couldn't do.
8,000 door knocks. 8,000 that's a lot of door knocks.
Yeah, and also lots of those public forums with specific community groups, you know, whether it was the Armenians or whether it was the Koreans or the Chinese. She did specific community groups, actually went there, listened to what they had to say, and then went... She's actually here to talk to us.
She made some
actually have a local member. Good golly, Miss Molly.
As she said in her speech, I don't know what you want to call it, just a speech.
A talk.
That Bennelong will never be ignored again.
That's right.
Yes.
That was smart.
And then Nick Minchin goes, he wasn't ignored. Never was ignored. John Howard gave it so much. Just like, yeah, and he's not going to give him anymore.
So, yeah,
okay,
we'll talk a bit more about Battle for Bennelong. So let's ask Where is Howard at the moment?
Howard just flew back in today into Canberra to clean out the lodge.
Yeah, he was cleaning out his parliamentary offices today.
And then the lodge tonight.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
But Kevin was good. Kevin said, you can have as long as you want, mate.
As long as you're out by tomorrow.
As long as it's not 3 years. You can't stay there for 3 years.
Or 11 and a half.
There was a brilliant cartoon in the Herald Sun of...
something new.
From Mark Knight. And it was the windows of Kirribilli House looking out over the harbour. And Jeanette Howard had punched a shotgun through the through the window going, I know you're out there, Rudd! I know you're out there! Magnificent. Just the look on her face was like pure Beverly Hillbillies. Immortal out there. Sorry. Who else we got?
Other scalps.
Malbrough.
So, Malbrough, yeah. Goodbye, good riddance.
Yes, the architect of the intervention, invasion as such. Now, this was a surprise because Malbrough, I was actually speaking to someone who was in his seat a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
And said that there was no advertising anywhere for his opposition. Yep. Nothing. Basically, his supporters had made sure he was plastered everywhere, and the opposition guy wasn't anywhere.
It wasn't a seat that was expected to fall.
Massive like surprise.
11.5%.
Do we have figures on any of that stuff? Did anyone bother? Because I certainly didn't bother getting any.
No, he had an 11.5% margin.
Yeah, right.
Which he lost.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just
that's
frightening.
Staggering.
That's absolutely staggering. So Malbrough's gone, which is good. Deputy Treasurer Peter Dutton went. Who are other ministers? Gary Nairn, Special Minister for State, in the bellwether seat of Eden Monaro.
Yep.
With the government? Which went with
the person who won. Exactly. The bellwether continues on. Fran Bailey, Minister for Tourism, looks like she's going to lose a seat. She's about 400 votes behind as it stands. Christopher Pyne, who's put his hand up to be the new deputy leader, still has his seat in doubt.
Yes, it was interesting. He said today that he would happily support anybody who became the leader, as if in some way, shape or form, it matters what he thought.
Because it never did when he was deputy minister for health.
But it was hilarious. Like,
aging, I think.
I'm going to throw my support behind whoever wins. It's like... Who the friggin' heck are you? Who are you?
Exactly. He believes that the idea of generational change is that you actually got to just get someone who's like 36. Yeah.
Oh, right.
So we also lost...
And of all jobs in Parliament, Deputy Minister for Health
is
probably the least relevant, isn't it?
Under Tony Abbott.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's not good.
What, do you think he throws him scraps of things to do? No, there's nothing to do.
No, because Tony does it all.
He goes,
badly.
Can you just scrap these Medicare cards for me? Just throw them in the shredder.
Okay.
Now, just give them to Peter.
For me, one of the great defeats was watching... now, he wasn't a minister. He got dumped in the last reshuffle. The former Minister for Vocational Education and Training, Gary Hargrave.
Vengeance is yours, sir.
Oh, vengeance is mine. Oh, dear, vengeance.
It's like watching Terry Metherall fall.
It was. And he actually had his interview. I watched his interview and goes... Look, I was a good minister, I did a great job, and I don't understand why people have turned against me. You fucked the TAFE system! TAFE teachers are a little bit vengeful, and they turned against you. Moron. Who else did we lose?
I'm trying to think of the top
one other minister we lost.
We're losing, Costello.
Now, the next, of course, are the ones that actually... decided that they couldn't face actually not being in power because they're power-hungry megalomaniacs.
They're gutless.
They're gutless. That's the way Kennett described him, actually.
Yes.
Kennett
and Keating.
Kennett and Keating both described Peter Costello as gutless.
Yeah, gutless.
Which was not... That was actually Kennett's last line. And, you know, we expected Peter Costello to actually, you know, take control of the party and lead us down somewhere, and he just was gutless.
Well, one of the conspiracy theories at the moment is that he's doing that to sit back so that the current contenders can battle it out and fuck things up.
Yep.
So in 8-9 months' time, they can call him back, just like how it happened with Howard.
That's quite plausible, actually.
Exactly the same way it happened with Howard, in fact.
It does actually make sense, because you think about it, it gives Turnbull and his supporters their go.
Yep.
Right, then he has his go.
And there'll be two left.
As Howard did with Downer.
Yep.
Yes.
Stuffs it up, kicks him out of the way.
Yep.
Downer's apparently on his way out as well.
Yeah, Downer will...
He didn't make his announcement today.
No, he didn't. I
think he's still sitting at home crying under his blanket with his thumb in his mouth.
He did make it very clear that he wasn't going to run for any... that it wasn't him who didn't want to. His family didn't want him to.
The other way he said it is quite interesting as well. He said, you know, I've been the federal opposition leader.
Mm.
I've been the foreign minister for 11 and a half years. Leader of the opposition is not something I'd really aspire to want to be.
That's true. That's true. So Costello's gone, Vail's gone. I think Ruddock will be gone in about 6 months.
Yeah, he'll probably disappear. He's the oldest member currently sitting in the House. He holds his seat by a margin, huge margin. He won, I think he's 65%. He got his seat.
So your vote mattered?
My vote really, really mattered. It was interesting, though. I went to the polling thing, and I went up to the woman to ask for my, my voting, my information, so I knew what order things are in. And I compared the Greens and the Labor ticket, and they were absolutely identical.
Yep.
Senate and, the House of Reps bit, both of them were...
Except one and two, probably.
Except one and two. They were identical.
Yeah.
So, I thought that was interesting.
See, it was a bit hard for me. I know you're not meant to discuss who you vote for, because I think that's actually a federal offence, but no one would be able to guess by the way we've been discussing who we actually voted for.
Well, I voted for Howard.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah.
I wasn't even in his seat. I just went to his seat and said, hi, my name's such and such. Mm. Can I vote for John Howard? And they said, sure. Mm. Why not?
Well, now, at least three of the booths I went to, I voted for Howard.
Good man.
Well put. Well good.
Now, the interesting thing for me was, of course, in my electorate, which is Graindler, won by Anthony Albanese on a knife edge.
Yeah, sure.
It was a knife edge. I think he actually got 67% of the primary vote this year. Bit up from last year.
Still waiting for the postal.
Yeah, the postal. They haven't declared that one. It's in doubt.
All the people that have in that seat, Albanese.
I know. Yeah. It's great good. But I had to make that really hard decision when you get to the bottom. Do you put the Christian Democrats or the Liberals last?
It's a hard decision.
It's a hard decision.
Not this year. No. Not this year.
Yeah, I went the same way.
On my ballot paper, number 7, Philip Ruddock, suck my...
Yeah, well, see, I had this nondescript. Caffrey, I think his name was. Michael Caffrey or something.
It's a hard call, but not that it mattered.
No, it didn't matter, because in Albanese's seat, Michael Caffrey's lost about 8% from the previous Liberal campaign in
2004. Well, it doesn't matter, because, I mean, as long as you've got the Labour either first or second.
Yeah, the rest of the...
Who cares what you put after that?
Don't really matter.
Yeah. It was interesting. I saw Tanya Plibersek, who's in your old electorate, because you're now in Benelong, but in your older electorate, Tanya Plibersek, and she did she did herself proud on the Channel 7 coverage.
Yeah.
Really, really impressive. I honestly think that
she's a talent of the future.
If they lose the next election, let's hope they don't. Yeah. I honestly think someday she'll be the leader.
She's only 38.
She's really very, very impressive. And she talked down Joe Hockey and said, "But Joe, that just doesn't make sense."
About 15 minutes ago, I was talking about my other defining image of the coverage.
Yes, you've got another one now?
Yeah, I do. No, this is the one I was halfway through finishing, because you reminded me. Was watching Happy Joe Hockey cry.
Yes. Well,
did he cry?
He did. He cried. He fell apart. He fell apart on air. Mm. Now, I'm not a harsh man.
Here you are.
But you know what? To someone like him, that was justice served.
Well, his arrogance at the start of the night, his absolute unabashed, well, we're the government, we've done this for 11 years, we know what's best for Australia, and Rudd's got no idea, you know, blah, 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 blah.
And the unions are evil, and blah, 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 blah.
I saw him on the Current Affairs special the night before the election, mm-hmm. straight after the news.
Oh, yeah, the speaking, the 60-second one?
Yes,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
right. Each, one, yeah. All of the ministers and that kind of thing, the big players, had their 60 seconds, right? Yeah. Everyone had their bit, they could get up and talk. It was actually a good show.
Yeah, it was, actually.
It was a good show, and the polls were completely wrong.
And, and Grimmer was looking good.
Who were?
Tracy Grimshaw.
Yeah, she's a man. I love Tracy Grimshaw. I've had a crush on Tracy Grimshaw for 20 years.
And she's always said no.
Which makes her pretty old. Anyway, now, he on that was so arrogant. He goes, you know, we're the government, we know what's... He basically said, we know what's best for you, just stick with us and we'll guide you through. And I thought to myself, piss off. Honestly, just piss off.
Probably would have been my first thought as well.
And look, it was... To see him like that fall, all I really wanted was to see him lose his seat. I am curious to see the swing to the Greens in Brendan Nelson's seat, and the swing... Oh! The swings to the Greens guy who came in here, in Joe Hockey's seat, huge!
Oh yeah, Ted
like
Nixon.
16%,
Ted Nixon did fantastically, actually, and while Mike Bailey didn't win that seat...
Like 5% off?
He's only 5% off. It's made it a marginal seat.
Yes. He did, for a guy who actually had a lot of trouble, my mum saw him in the seat some time ago campaigning, and she went up to him and said, oh, and it was a really hot day, and he was out there and he was in a suit, a heavy woolen suit, he was sweating and obviously uncomfortable and trying to speak to people, but too shy to speak to people, and she went up to him and said, oh, you know, hello, Mr. Bailey, I understand you're running for the electorate, thanks for, you know, blah, blah, whatever, and it's like, oh, yeah, thanks very much, I'm a bit shy to go up and speak to people, but... Yeah, if he had actually campaigned in that seat, like if he was, they should have set Bob Hawke into that seat every single day.
With or without boat shoes.
And he, with or without boat shoes, and he would have won it. I honestly think Hockey, if Mike Bailey had more support, Hockey would have fallen.
Yeah.
And that would have been the money shot. I wanted to see the picture, the cartoonist picture of Rudd standing on a fat, bloated Joe Hockey
stabbing a Australian flag into him. A big union flag.
Lying down.
Your rights at work, Hockey.
Lying down in a muddy pit on the Kokoda Trail. And I want to see Rudd with his foot on his face and a big Eureka stockade flag stuck in his bloated fat gut. Anyway, that's my excitement for the evening. That's what I wanted to happen.
And you can clean up afterwards too.
Thanks very
much. So, continuing on, the Gutless Wonders.
Gutless Wonders are leaving the house. Now, of course, they're all in there this week. Shredding things. Now, I mentioned before that Costello shredded about tons of documents.
It's really like the downfall of the Third Reich, isn't it?
It's
like
the Stasi.
Yeah, quick, get rid of everything. Yep. And yeah, it's interesting that I know we liken it to, you know, the Third Reich, Howard's government. All that
once
sort
in
of
a while, we may have used that apart reference
from,
in passing.
I mean, apart from the fact that we joke about it and we're serious about it, there is another view that there was sort of like that all the ministers tended to, as the 11.5 years went on, fall into line, just like in Nazi Germany, that, you know, they weren't all pure evil people.
No.
They just fell in line with the ideology and took it for granted.
Yeah, it's called the Spear Factor.
Not entirely. But I think that's what happened with the Howard government and ultimately why he's downfall, because they so reinforced each other's beliefs and so believed that, you know, this conservative right-wing thing was what the country wanted. They absolutely believed that, which is unbelievable. And it's only taken Rudd and that campaign for the people of Australia to suddenly realise, hang on, they've gone probably just a little bit too far.
I think they have maybe gone... Personally, I think the bit they went a little bit too far with was the uniforms.
The uniforms?
The uniforms is just one step too far, you know?
If you're going to pick brown, pick a better brown than that.
Exactly.
Oh, in the Black Forest.
Let's talk about the contenders, shall we?
Sure, let's do that.
For the
leadership?
For the leadership of the Liberal Party. Now, let's for those of you, once again, who have not been following Australian news, except for listening to this show, good on you. There's three contenders that have put their hat into the ring.
Which just happens to be the number of seats the Liberal Party won over the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. They did actually pull one seat back.
Yes.
And to you in Western Australia, I just say this one thing. Why?
It was interesting, on that point, that Labor took all of Tasmania.
Yep.
I think, and Western Australia was really the standout turner awayer.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, they were, yeah.
It's really quite odd. I mean, all the experts are saying, oh, it's fairly likely, it's fairly likely, but I think it's strange, almost the entire state.
I'll make my prediction now that Western Australia will be the first state Labor government that'll fall.
Oh, probably, yes.
Followed rapidly by South Australia. I think the eastern states are probably fine, but I reckon both South Australia and Western Australia will fall relatively
quickly. Sydney will go next time.
Oh, yeah, but that's 3.5 years away.
Oh, yeah, I know. But, well, well, that's not really a prediction then, is it? All you have to do is take the election dates, and there's your prediction.
No, but they don't have fixed elections, those ones. And I reckon,
they?
And
Western Australia doesn't have a fixed election?
No, Western Australia doesn't have a fixed election time, and I don't think South Australia does either.
Don't they?
I think it's only Victoria and
New
South Wales.
They just go on as long as they feel like it, and then they say, oh, they've got enough of this.
They have a term.
Like all elections.
They have a term, but it's not like in New South Wales where it always falls on the second Sunday in March.
Right, but, you know, a term's give or take 6 months. You know?
I reckon Yemma will probably go, yeah. Although, what have they got left? But they've got nothing. They've got not much, though.
To be honest, he's a disaster.
I know he's a disaster, but to be honest with you, I think he'll go before the next election, and Watkins will be the Premier.
Yeah, in which case.
I reckon Watkins will be the Premier within 6 months, and I think before the next election, Barry Farrell will fall on his sword because he's an idiot.
Well, the rumour...
I know he has a really good public profile, but having come across Barry O'Farrell at various points, if he gets out there enough, you will find out what a dildo this guy is.
Do you know what the rumour is, though? Check this one out.
He's a woman?
No. The rumour is that there's a certain ex-premier who's thinking about a return to politics.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Say hello, Nick Greiner.
Is he going to smoke his way back in, is he?
I think so. Well,
I work for Philip Morris now.
Yep, that's what it's good like. Now, so, yeah, the rumour is that Greiner's on his way back.
Yeah, right.
That'd be interesting to watch.
Well, anyway, there was someone was talking about... one of the Liberal guys was talking about people who run for election and then give up, but don't say anything.
Yeah.
Didn't Nick Greiner do that and just hand over to Faye?
No, he got kicked out over the Metherill appointing a Metherill to some sort of authority.
Oh, right.
And it was all considered really dodgy and he had to quit.
Oh, okay.
Whereas Faye, of course, is now head of WADA.
Really?
The World Authority on World Anti-Doping Authority.
Oh.
There we go. Anyway, the Liberal Party contenders, there are three of them in the mix.
So to speak.
So
there's only three.
Shall we go? Shall we go alphabetical?
Three
for the leadership.
Three that have declared.
Three
but
for the leadership.
A few others that will.
Yeah.
Yes.
But there's three. I think the three for the leadership will probably be the only ones for the leadership. I reckon there might be a few more for. Do you reckon there'll be some more for that?
Oh well, let's go through them, shall
we? Okay, alphabetically, we have Tony Abbott.
Now you Tony have Abbott. To admit, Tony Abbott. This election has not been a proud moment for Tony Abbott.
No.
He turns up late to a debate. He calls the late Bernie Banton a slacker.
He turned up late to his portfolio.
Yeah, he did.
In fact, he never arrived.
I know. Okay, put it this way. Nicola Roxon beat him in a debate.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just... And also, I like Nicola, but sorry.
And
Nicola
Roxon
beat him in a debate.
It would seem. Yeah.
And also, this is the guy who's... Well, probably a legacy that will live longer than him will be that in the abortion advisory line, Tony Abbott thought it was a good idea to give it over to the Catholic Church and the Right to Lifers.
Yep, yep. For completely unbiased advice.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Call the Catholic Church.
Yes, good idea.
I was going to say...
This is the man who came out today that said he should be considered for the candidacy because he's good with people.
Yeah, I love the line from Annabelle Crabb in the paper today. She said, what sort of alternative world are we in? I've just woken up and I've looked at the news and says Tony Abbott is running for the leadership on his people skills.
Yes.
I like Annabelle Crabb. Or as
Keating said, he's the young fogey.
Young fogey, yes,
John Howard's old fogey.
Of course, he is a total Howard acolyte. He believes that nothing went wrong with that campaign. It was just that the joke that John Howard used to refer to as what the Australian people were playing on the Liberal Party was just they just took it a step too far. You know, just like one of those practical jokes that goes a bit wrong when you're actually meant to shave off someone's eyebrow but you actually shave off their entire head.
It's a problem.
That sort of joke just went wrong.
Oh, right. I thought I saw some stuff in the last couple of days about him also jumping into the whole, well, we're not tied to all the policies.
I don't know. He might have gone Me Too on that.
He's gone core or non-core.
He might have gone a bit non-core, a two-day promise sort of thing. But I suspect he's a little less...
But he's a right-wing nut job. So.
He's a right-wing nut job. Alphabetically next is Dr. Brendan Nelson, former head, president of the AMA,
and
defence minister.
Crappy defence minister.
The one who...
don't tell us about the strike fighter. Okay.
And the one who actually finally admitted that the Iraq war was about oil.
Yes.
Yes.
Slight mistake.
Yes.
Slight
just a minor miscalculation. Mm. That said, is a small L liberal, quite socially... socially moderate, It was actually a previous member of the Labour Party.
Yes.
For about 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably the most left-wing of the Liberal Party, but has done a little bit of a Ruddick-like reconstruction of himself to turn himself into an uber-Nazi.
Well, he's had to, I suppose, to survive, to survive in the Howard regime. And it is a freaking regime.
Yeah.
He's had to. Now, Brendan Nelson's not, apparently not a bad guy.
Yeah.
And he... If the Libs, if he got in, it would be a good thing for the Liberal Party because they'd be able to find their for the Liberal. I think Brendan Nelson.
He just seems powerless.
No, no, I know, but I think from a if you're looking at a if you've gone from a leader, it's such a personality cult with what's his name? Howard?
No, I can't remember. He's gone.
Dickface.
Some guy with bushy eyebrows. He's gone.
Yeah. And, and they decide that they pick another leader, and this guy starts driving policy, you may look at a small, illiberal-style government. And dare I say this, more Menzies than Howard.
Well, that's what they're saying now. The Liberals need to invent themselves as a Liberal Party.
Yes, they do. In fact, they need to take the middle, the real centre-right. Not the centre right that everyone claims Howard was, because if the centre right is actually what Howard was, then Adolf Hitler was sort of like a centre right.
Well, he's a Thatcherite. He was a Thatcherite.
He's total Thatcherite, far right wing Thatcherite. But
the only one left.
They need to take that centre right back, because to be honest, that's where the Labour Party is sitting. They're sitting in the centre right. They're not the centre left. They are definitely the centre right.
The positive thing about this is if the Liberals do move centre right. The Labour can move back.
To the
you
left.
See, they could never move back while Howard was in charge. Yeah, there's no way. They can't move back if Abbott's in charge. They can't move back if Costello's in charge either.
Mm.
The only way you can sense it now. You can sense it now that it was all campaign.
Yes.
In the speeches that Rudd's been giving, okay, they're all message from what he's doing, but they're delivered with more lefty passion.
He mentions the union.
I think Garrett was actually right. Yeah. I think Garrett was totally right.
This is what I said. I mean, I said this, and we all said it at some point or another over the last 6 weeks. They will get into power.
Yeah.
Things will change. The gloves will come off, and we're fighting that this guy. I think honestly, this is what I'm excited about, that things will get fixed.
Yeah. I like the. I agree with you. In his speech,
it's
he actually
cost us money.
He stood up there and went. And I'd like to thank the union movement. That was probably the first time he used the word unions in the entire campaign.
I've got to tell you something.
No, didn't he say the great Australian union movement?
That's right, trade union movement.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something weird? After 6 weeks, more than 6 weeks, 6 months, whatever it's been, of, being worried about unions and this, that, and the other, and as soon as he said it, I got a chill up my spine thinking, oh, no, he said wait a minute, he's already won.
He's already won, exactly.
Yeah, I had this thing in my head, no!
It just grabbed me too, like I was like, whoa.
Yep.
And Julie's had that same spin the last couple of days as well. Again, on message, but you can read through it, there's a bit more of a lefty
passion happening.
There.
It's happening.
And my thought would be if they then said to her, they asked a question they asked her on the Insiders on the Sunday before the election, and they said to her, so is the Labor Party the party of the left? And she wouldn't give an answer then. My suspicion is her answer now would be, yes.
Yeah.
It's a party for the left and all Australians.
Yeah.
Which is, instead of just saying it's a party for all Australians, I think she would actually embrace her left leanings.
It's interesting how Rudd said that this will be a party for all Australians. Well, all Australians. He mentioned the Aborigines and mentioned all these things. Yeah.
Which, once again, is a beautiful reference to something that this show has been hammering for the entire time we've been on, which is John Howard's stated belief that he only governed for the people that voted for him and everyone else can just fuck off and die.
Yes, exactly.
That's what he stated.
Mm. Not entirely his words, but I'm sure that were his thoughts.
I think that's what he said to Jeanette.
It is.
John. Anyway, I was going to do a Howard impersonation.
Really? I've got these images in my head.
Now, the third, of course, in alphabetical order, is our dear friend of this show and a friend of our show for many years. Malcolm Turnbull. Now,
The clip of him has come out the last couple of days. I've seen it about a dozen times where he said the Howard legacy will be letting the Australian people down or whatever he said with the referendum thing.
Now, he couldn't actually stand there too much in this, more so in the last 2 days, and say, I've got to wash that man right out of my hair. I've got to wash that man.
Yeah. For a man who you couldn't see a photo of him in the last 2 weeks, he's probably been on more news bulletins than anything.
Yes, exactly. Now, I want to point out one minor piece of, how do I describe this, perception, which I think, if the media decided to pick up on, I think they like the idea of Turnbull as the leader because he's going to be a train wreck. He's going to be a total, he's going to make mistakes, he's going to screw up, he's going to say things he shouldn't say. The media are going to absolutely lap that up. So they're actually, I think, favouring Turnbull.
I'm favouring Turnbull because he will be Labour Party's greatest friend. He couldn't unite a party. There is no way he could unite that party.
Yeah.
He will try to basically go against legislation, which he'll end up being in favour of.
Yeah.
And it just, it won't work. And you it will what, be brilliant.
I don't actually agree with you. I think he might do an okay job. And did you read the Keating one? Well, I actually heard it on the interview. Keating said he was like one of those big red bungers, you know, set off at crack and like, you light it up, it's full of all this and fire, and there's just a fizzle at the end.
Keating wants Julie Bishop. He reckons that she's their best chance.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I reckon today she came out and said deputy.
Yep.
She'll put her hand in for deputy. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe she sort of...
Then just throws into...
Throws into leadership as well.
So...
And then there's always Downer, who came out and, like we're talking about before, he didn't say he wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
He said he wasn't interested, it wasn't in aspirations, but as an interim six-month thing, to keep them together and to get them moving forward before somebody else takes over, he might step into that role.
But interestingly...
He did such a great job last time.
Interesting, Costello is actually playing a bit...
Well, he prepared it for Howard.
Costello's playing a bit of a leadership role at the moment. He's actually trying to make sure that... He's controlling the vote.
Mm.
He's making sure the vote happens, and because he's still deputy leader of the Liberal Party.
Yeah, exactly.
John Howard has now officially resigned as leader of the Liberal Party.
He's gone, baby.
And Costello has not resigned as deputy. He will not resign as deputy until the party room meeting.
Well, Howard hasn't resigned, has
he? Yeah, he did. He actually, in his concession speech, he said he resigns as the leader of the Liberal Party.
Oh, okay. I didn't
so,
I wonder what I was listening to. I might have been watching Star Wars, wasn't it?
Probably. Dan, 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 dan. Now, the perception I wanted to do. Now, Malcolm Turnbull was in a marginal seat, which is the seat of Wentworth.
Mm-hmm.
In the 2004 election, he ran against the former candidate for that seat, Peter King. Now, he rolled him, and then he beat him at the pre-selection.
Mm.
Then he...
Took his wallet. Keys, keyed his car.
Exactly. Took it for a drive down Bondi Beach and left it at the end of the pier. Mm. All that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Peter King polled 23% of the primary vote.
Mm.
Turnbull held Wentworth by about 4.5%.
Mm.
Now, he had a 1.5% swing to him. So, 23% of the vote, which he didn't get, held by the Liberal Party, well, effectively a Conservative vote. When you actually do the calculations, Malcolm Turnbull had a 14% swing against him.
Mm.
If you factor in the fact that there was like a Conservative candidate.
Yeah, yeah.
Yet, he's now going around saying, I'm the only person who bucked the trend. I had a 1.5% swing against me.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone else, and that's one of the things he's using as his primary source.
You know,
of power. Look at me, I'm better than everyone else because they're all losing their seats.
Well, you know what? That's really not going to endear him to the party room.
No, it's not going to endear him to the party room, but I don't think he actually worries about it, because if he's smart, he'll actually have an opportunity over the next 6 to 12 months, if he gets it, or any of them get it, to stock the party room with their apartchiks, because there's going to be a stream of retirements.
Mm.
Probably a good 7 or 8 by-elections in safe-held Liberal seats. Yeah. Now, they will lose one or two of those to, like, that random by-election thing.
Yeah.
But they'll keep 5 or 6. Well, and this is what Howard did. Remember back in 1993, when Howard took control of the party again, there were... he made sure that in 93, between 93 and 96, he stacked the branches with his personal choices. People like Jackie Kelly and Gary Nann and Adolf Hitler and you know, he got rid of the party of those moderates like Speer. He went. Mm. I think he runs a Macquarie Bank now.
He's too much of a socialist.
Yeah, exactly right. Now,
he had a 5-year plan. So
and in 96, when he won power in the rather not as catchy Howard slide.
Mm.
It's not as catchy as the Rudd slide. Labor lost another 7 or 8 people in the ensuing year.
Yeah.
Gareth Evans went.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
3 or 4 others went. And they stacked those seats once again with more Howard apartchiks. He's got that opportunity to do that because there's going to be a lot of Liberals who are just going to go, bye.
Yeah.
They don't want to hang around.
Well, on the other hand, I think Turnbull is going to bring a much more conservative, rich kid. I've always had lots of money. What do you mean social policy? I've got a nice car.
But...
to the Liberal Party, whereas Brendan Nelson, I don't know, because he's small L. Oh, look, Turnbull is not small L.
No, but he's not Thatcherite. No, no, but it does, you don't,
and
yes.
He's new.
Yeah, and he's new. He's
yeah, Brendan Nelson's been around since everyone's been.
About 8 years.
But yeah. You can be an arch conservative, not a Thatcherite.
True, but he's also, I will probably agree that he probably did want to ratify Kyoto. Maybe for political expediency rather than for actual environmental reasons.
And I still think the environment was one of the big issues.
I think so too.
It was one of the huge issues.
Yeah, that's true.
The biggest,
and the fact that he's actually now come out, and we all knew this, that he came out on the side of trying to do something about it, will put him in good stead. Really,
exactly.
Good stead.
And I think ultimately what also holds him in good stead is the fact that he was the head of the Republican movement. You know, that puts him...
Yeah, that's a big one.
That
really
puts him against half the Liberal Party.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't many Republicans in the Liberal Party. I think Costello was one of the only senior Liberals in on the Republican side.
Pretty much.
So, I don't think... I'm sticking on my opinion that I think he's going to be a train wreck, and I think from a point of view of what's going to make this really fun for the next 12 months, I say vote one Turnbull.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He would be hilarious. He'd be wandering around his boat shoes and his little shirt undone and his little sweater and that kind of...
Bob Hawke!
No, it's not. When did Bob Hawke ever wear friggin' boat shoes?
Did you see the white boat shoes he wore when he was campaigning in Queensland in his blue suit?
No.
Oh, it was classy.
Oh, no.
Without socks, too.
Ooh.
Ooh, nice.
I think Turnbull might actually do a good job. That's the scary thing.
So you want to see down a bit?
Well, it's hard because, I mean, put him in now and hope, or do I want somebody else in so that 6 months to a year down the track, Turnbull takes over and then wins it for them?
Well, there's that possibility.
Which is a scary prospect, right?
Do you reckon Costello... I mean, because basically Costello's argument, I think if you had sat down and thought about it, is, well, basically I don't want to be in opposition because it's not as good as being in government. That's number... That would have been point one. Point two...
Tanty, isn't it? Seriously.
Tanty.
Yeah.
Point two, I told John Howard that he's a fucking loser, like 3 years ago, and he didn't listen to me.
Doesn't put the cap on the toothpaste.
Yeah, exactly.
That's actually something he's got too, and... Because he did actually try to take the leadership. So he could probably come forward and say, look, I tried to get rid of him. We could have won this election with me, which isn't actually true, but that's what he could say. Yeah. On the other hand, is he just going to be, you know, Lazarus with the triple bypass?
Now, the final thing, of course, is that he would have sat down and thought about it and thought, I can take this leadership, but Malcolm Turnbull's going to be sitting there fucking shoving things up my butt every day.
Just recreationally.
Or even medicinally. Right. Trying to... Like, unseat me. Trying to, like, undermine me.
If you want a good angle.
Yeah, exactly. Because the seat just gets in the way.
Yeah, look, it does.
So, like, he's going to spend the next 6 to 12 months undermining me. So, if he's smart, he'll actually... You're right, I agree with you, Richard. If he's smart, he'll sit there and just... He'll sit there and wait. Anyway,
he has a go at me every single week for my unprofessional behaviour, and I give him a special signal that's completely oblivious to anybody outside. How long to go? And he goes, half an hour.
You know, because Pete was speaking, no one would have heard that.
All right, yeah.
Because I'm rather loud, and I have a very deep voice.
Shut up.
Hello there, Abe.
Hold on a second.
So, predictions, right? Doing? You guys reckon Turnbull will get in?
Yeah, I reckon Turnbull.
And you think it's the best thing for people who hate the Liberals?
That's right.
I think it's going to just be funny, that's all.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Turnbull will be a godsend to the Labor Party. Nelson will be a godsend to the Liberal Party. Abbott is a tool bag.
Yeah.
A what in the Black Forest?
Now, you're having fun with that, aren't you? Now, can you rack... Actually, I'm going to give you a bit of time while I just fill. Can you rack up the B for B?
Yes.
Good man. Now,
how come you get to play something?
No, it's not a song. It's an intro, motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is Warfare Forest, 88.5 FM. This is show 277. Our website, of course, is www.walkblackforest.org. We're going to keep content racking up there. Every time we find something interesting, we'll put some content up there. There's a few things up there at the moment. There's AIDS special tribute to Johnny. There's something that appeared on the pm.gov.au website the day after, which I thought had some interesting undertones. So you can have a read that. www.warplayforest.org has got all that stuff. Don't talk to our MySpace. No one talks to our MySpace because MySpace is dead. So don't talk to our MySpace anymore.
No.
But
I love Rupert Murdoch bought that.
We might actually set up a Facebook group. See if we can get a Facebook group happening.
Yeah, right.
For Walking by the Forest. Yeah. But anyway, time for this.
Ben Long is a marginal Liberal seat, held by John Howard since 1974.
History is against us when it comes to winning this election.
I feel it's the best thing that I can do to help Kevin Rudd become the country's next Prime Minister.
When I get news like that, my only reaction is to determine and resolve to work even harder. Beyond that, I don't really have any further commentary.
This is not about John Howard. This is not about Maxine McHugh. It is about Australia making a clear-cut decision, a once-in-a-generation decision about the kind of country we have, about how we want to use the present prosperity.
I'm not grumpy, I just know what games you fellas play.
Quite possibly, actually not quite possibly, this will be the last time we shall be doing the battle for Bennelong.
Unless, of course, it takes a week for the results to come in.
That's true. Now, just to give people an update, what's happened in the
battle
for Bennelong?
Which it may do, because they're saying it might be about 9 days before they start counting of
the pre-polls and absentees and overseas votes. With 80% of the vote counted, Maxine's ahead by 2,702 votes on the two-party preferred. 2,702. John Howard has all but conceded defeat in the seat, which he did on the night.
Yes.
He said it looks more than likely that he will have lost his seat, only the second time in Australian history that a sitting Prime Minister has lost his seat since Stanley Bruce. What was quite funny is that the person who defeated Stanley Bruce in that election's grandson rang Maxine McHugh on Friday before the election, wishing her well.
Oh, right.
As almost like a generational
That's pretty cool,
high
actually.
Five, really.
I like
now,
it.
Now, Maxine has not yet claimed... Oh, it's funny. She didn't claim victory on the night. It was just like a big smile on her face. Everyone's great. Claimed victory yesterday, and then the next sentence said, but we're not entirely sure.
Yeah.
So there's still a little bit of, you know, toing and froing on. As I said before, I don't think it's as close as some of the other seats that have already been declared.
Yep.
I think it's because it's Howard and they're giving him the chance to concede, and he will hold it out for as long as possible.
It's almost like they're pulling all their troops back to Berlin for one last holdout.
Exactly. And what? That Wollstonecraft is going to be the bunker.
Something like that, if only. I might get myself a bunker buster.
Now, what was really interesting in the battle for Bennelong, of course, during the election, during the actual day of voting, was that John Howard chose to go to a polling booth in the very, very Labour-held area of Ermington.
I thought that was a really big surprise.
Voted at Ermington West Public School, known when I was growing up as Ermo West. I've been to Ermo West Public School. In fact, I didn't go to that as a school, but we used to have friends there. We used to go there and do school things there. We had a lot of... I remember actually very...
I think it's great that you did school things at the school.
Well, it wasn't my school. But what was cool about
it... And he wasn't even at school anymore. I remember very clearly.
We were going to a market research thing done by a company about paddle pops. So we were shown the new Paddle Pop ad, and we were meant to comment on it. We're all like 12, probably only that, about 10. We're all meant to comment on it and stuff like that. And then through one of the connecting doors, walked the Paddle Pop line.
Ooh, that's pretty exciting.
Which was great until someone just basically kneed him in the
nuts. This is a great story.
But my point...
Yes.
...is I've been to Ermington West. I know the school. To watch him vote in there was very strange. And, of course... He looked vaguely uncomfortable, but I turned not as uncomfortable as the two people who were standing on either side of him while they were voting.
Oh.
Just two ordinary voters were voting, two old women, and there's John going, wonder who I should put first. It's always that struggle for him. Do I put Labour first or the Greens first? I'm not entirely sure.
Difficult for him.
Difficult. Wouldn't it be annoying if he lost by one vote? And he's happened to hit. Maybe donkey vote.
He could have donkey vote.
He could have got it wrong.
He could have.
Yeah. He could have gone, I've got to send a message to this government.
Fuck you, Max.
Donkey vote. Maxine, of course, chose somewhere else. She voted at, I think, Eastwood? Was it Eastwood or Epping?
Yeah, probably. It'd be East Road, wouldn't it? But the shopping centre area there. That makes sense.
But funnily enough, this whole Maxine versus John thing was far in excess of any of the other individual seat races on the night. They crossed back to Bennelong quite a lot. Maxine had a reception at the North Ryde College of the Arts. I've never heard of it. Now, I grew up in this area.
Me too.
You live in this area now. And I was a member. I was actually in Bennelong for about 3 years before redistribution kicked us out. I've never heard of the North Road College.
No,
neither. But she was there. John, of course, chose a good part of Bennelong to do his thank. That would be the Sofitel Wentworth in the city. Just as good as where he lives, really, Wollstonecraft. But which I don't think's in Bennelong.
No,
I'm pretty sure Wollstonecraft's actually in Happy Joe's seat.
You would think so.
Yeah, I think
because you would have noticed that Jeanette doesn't actually vote in Bennelong.
Oh.
Because she can't. No. Only John voted. Because she does not live in the seat of Bennelong.
That's funny.
Her official address is the Howard residence in Wollstonecraft.
Well, what's his official residence?
I believe a flat down the road in Gladesville, which he's owned for 33 years.
Imagine living in John Howard's flat. If he was renting it out.
Now, this is only a rumour, and I can't...
Moving on.
That was the voting, which was really fascinating. A lot of publicity on Howard. It was a very grey day, too, for some reason. It looked quite grey and dull. I wasn't in Sydney. I don't know what the weather was like in Sydney.
It was raining where I was voting.
Yep.
In Bennelong.
Yep. So where did you choose to vote in Bennelong?
Very wet day.
Strangely
enough, I voted in Gladesville. But I'd just like to say that it wasn't me who turned the tide, because Maxine won every booth in Bennelong except one in Gladesville.
Did you? So it was only the one closest to the station?
There was only one booth she lost.
This one
and
here?
And the one near the station.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is right on the fringes of the electorate, because this station is the edge of the electorate. Just on the other side of the road is North Sydney.
Yeah.
Who polled well, as Abe pointed out earlier, was Greens candidate Lindsay Peters.
Yeah, did a great job.
Who polled about 10.8%.
Yeah, did a bit.
Which, of course, swung it to Maxine. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Maxine would have won if it wasn't for what was effectively a very strong local campaign by Lindsay Peters.
I mean, they both had strong local campaigns, which was good. The two candidates which actually did.
Now, Silas Taylor from Get Up, who, of course, we also had on the show, was very, very believed that there was a great power of Get Up in the seat. They had over 350 volunteers at polling booths across Bennelong. Basically, Get Up wanted to see the end of John Howard.
Yep.
I mean, apolitical as they are, and I'm inverted commering here, they were desperate to see a change in government, and they pumped an enormous amount of resource into this seat.
Yes, that's true.
As a graft, they door-knocked almost every... Door-knocked or fly-ed every house in this electorate.
Being apolitical and hating John Howard aren't diametrically opposed.
That's true.
That's also true.
Yeah.
Being insane and supporting John Howard are pretty related.
Yeah, pretty close. Yeah.
That explains why Glazewell did so well.
Yeah, boom,
Glazewell Mental Hospital.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Cuckoo,
cuckoo. Now, what was fascinating about the night itself, as I said, is that the seat should be called. It really should be called. I mean, 2,700 votes.
I don't know, man.
60% going to Howard? It was making
Yeah, but if you look at how many people voted in the electorate, only 79% of people in the electorate voted.
Yeah, that 79% of the vote counted.
79% of the people in the electorate voted.
Did they? So 20% didn't vote.
That's right.
So they're either out of the electorate at the time.
Yep. 24,000 people.
24,000? No, I'd almost guarantee my left testicle that he's not going to win that seat.
I hope not. It'd be really freaking embarrassing if he does.
It'd be very embarrassing, wouldn't it?
No, I'd look, 2,700 is a big margin. They were calling seats on under 1,000.
Yeah, but they've still got 5,000 votes to count.
8,000 votes
seven.
To count.
Yeah, 7.
7,000 votes. No, I don't. Look, they will go roughly down the same path. I'm fairly confident about that, and I'm calling it.
You're a big man.
I'm calling it to Maxine.
Let me get this straight. You're calling the election 4 days after it's finished.
You're a brave man. You are a brave man.
I'm cautious. Never let it be said.
I know, but you know, just you're out there.
I know.
You're definitely out there.
You know what? I'm calling
caution to the wind.
I'm calling the election for Labor now. Don't jinx it. Just be careful.
It's a bit premature, don't you think? I mean,
and you know what? I've just got a feeling in my water that Mal Brough might have lost.
In your water?
In my water.
In your water?
I can feel my water. It's going to break soon, too.
Dude, go to the bathroom.
Okay.
I love that song.
So do I.
It's my favourite song. Look, actually, I prefer the cover. The cover's good. Interestingly enough...
This will be our longest podcast.
It will be our longest podcast.
Before we move into something like pole smoking...
Sure.
Yep.
Oh, I noticed... Did you notice it? Did you see that? That was subtlety.
Yeah. It was.
Pole smoking. We have 10 minutes to go. You may or may not have heard
yep.
that the Liberal Party leadership is currently up for contention.
No, oh, well, I haven't heard that.
We've just looked at the three...
John Howe's not going to be the leader anymore.
Abbott... Nelson and Turnbull,
yep. Yep.
And I'd just like to say the Liberal Party is dedicated to the principles of democracy, and as yep. such, it's actually open to everybody on eBay. Let me just read this to you. Leadership position available for lame duck, increasingly irrelevant conservative Australian political party. Shameful prior achievements include the decimation of sensibility, compassion, workers' rights, social justice, equality and participatory democracy. Slightly soiled, pre-loved, new incumbent welcome. Currently there are 15 bids,
yep.
and it's at $12.50.
It ends
on the 6th of December.
I think that's a bit overpriced, actually.
It's a bit overpriced.
Yeah,
it's $12.50.
Yeah,
but the good thing
can
is...
Can you see if there's some others out there that are maybe a bit cheaper? Because I'd buy it now at about maybe $1.75.
But the good thing is they take PayPal or cash on delivery.
Nice.
Did you see the other one that came around today, which is domain.com?
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw that a couple of days
ago. Kirribilli House was up for sale.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yes. picture of John Howard at the front of a sold sign.
Nice. Nice. Now, you were going to talk about George Newhouse.
Oh, no. I just thought this the Newhouse thing was
are you going to talk about the bitch slap?
I am. Now, George Newhouse, as you know, was the Labor candidate.
A weak Labor candidate,
running against Turnbull.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And he had what has been termed a run-in.
Yep, with a female journalist.
With a female journalist, Ms. Overington,
mm-hmm.
From the Australian newspaper, the Australian newspaper. Yep. Now, apparently what happened was...
Roop's favourite broadsheet?
Yeah, you may actually remember... Miss Overington.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Overington was also the journalist who approached Mr. Newhouse's ex-girlfriend.
Danielle Okoya.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Cool name.
Mm.
Sounds like it should be in Star Trek. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Isn't that a tree?
I think it is. Okoya. I think so, yeah.
Could be. Now, she approached...
That's
she
a bird call. Okoya!
She approached Miss...
That was a tribute to Ted Nixon, by the way.
She...
On your brother.
Approached Miss Okoya... About... Shut up. About giving her preferences to Malcolm Turnbull.
Yeah.
Now, of course, she was an independent running in the seat basically against Mr. Newhouse because she didn't like him.
Yeah, ex-boyfriend.
Ex-boyfriend. Now, they fell out over, I think, Kyoto or the environment or something. Who knows what they fell out of anyway?
About swallowing, maybe?
No, I'm pretty sure he does.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he does. She looks like a powerful woman.
Well, that's not an issue then.
That's a hell of a lot of blowback, let me tell you right now. Now,
I was going to take it down the path of, like, they fell out over the colour of their couch or... You guys have to take it down to the lowest common.
You've really
got to
stick your fist right up there and reach and just pull it right out there.
But you'd never make...
What, the couch?
But you shouldn't make a fist too early.
Yeah.
No, you shouldn't, otherwise you'll get stuck.
Yeah, well, exactly. Now, strangely enough...
standing on the outside, looking in.
Ms. Overington, with her children in tow...
That's not a real name.
Well, apparently not. Approached Mr. Newhouse at the Bellevue Hill Public School.
Mm-hmm.
And now...
Also the paddle pot lying there, too.
Now, she approached him, and what some witnesses... some witnesses would say, and have reported, that she slapped Mr. Newhouse.
Bitch slapped.
Now, she actually said she didn't slap him.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I read this.
She actually pushed him on the face with an open hand.
Is that the difference between a non-core and core promise?
Mm.
Now, that's a word. Can I actually, at this point, say, can we have a one late lamented piece for the end of that, for that that entire concept of core and non-core promises? It's finally gone.
Well, we hope.
Well, we don't know.
Well, that's true. Now, the statement says here, she came over and slapped him on the right side of the face.
Yep.
And he was on the phone. It was really strong. It forced his head back. She then walked past him to vote.
Nice. Nice.
Fantastic. Now, well, he's probably just standing in the wrong spot.
Well, it could have been.
You know, if he's saying, oh, no, you should stand over there.
Or down there. Or
next to the paddle pop
line. Or down there on the ground.
Yeah. You're down there on the ground.
You just need to relax.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Can you pick up my how to vote card?
Exactly. Now, is that
time? No, just to finish this off. Now, basically what happened in an exchange with Mr. Newhouse, she was accused of going from flirtatious to overly threatening to obtain an interview with him. One email read, "Hey there, let's chat today, shall we? I could come out to Bondi since I live there, and now you're single, I might even make a pass at you."
Nice.
So, yes, basically she's making a play. She's making a play to Mr. Newhouse.
The journalist integrity of the Uncle Rip world.
It's a beautiful thing.
Now, before we just get on to pole smoking, I just want to, on a serious note, I just want to point out...
There's a paddle pop lion.
No.
Did not touch you in any way.
No, he didn't. I actually want to point out on a serious note...
Pete, however...
I don't think I could do this serious thing now.
As I push him to the floor.
Because the context is just...
breathe on his delicate...
Yeah, I can't do it now because you've just ruined the context. You've just ruined the context.
Yeah, come on.
I just want to point out on a serious note and just a mention of the passing of Bernie Banton. Great campaigner for workers' rights, and I think it's really important to mention his contribution to Australia, in particular in the last 3 or 4 years, against the tide of corporate oppression that James Hardy has brought amongst thousands of Australians who are dying of disease that they have brought upon them.
Mm-hmm.
And I also just briefly want to mention also the passing of Matt Price, journalist for The Australian, and actually quite an intelligent and astute political commentator who actually didn't show his heart on his sleeve in his journalism, which is a surprise in the Uncle Rip empire.
Also true.
There we go. Sorry, that was my two important things that we needed to point out. Time, ladies and gentlemen, smoke the polls.
Oh, we're into it, right.
We're into smoke
the polls. I was going to say, what we also need to do is probably just give people, over the next 7 days, a couple of things that are happening.
Yep.
We mentioned that Thursday is the... Was it the Liberal?
Thursday is the Liberal Party leadership, tussle.
Tussle.
It looks like...
The cabinet's coming out probably around the same time.
It looks like Rudd will either be sworn in on Friday or Monday are the two dates.
Yes, the end of the week. He's asked for the end of the week and the cabinet to begin on Monday.
Yep, so that's going to happen fairly soon. Parliament isn't due to sit till February.
Tough.
But he might recall it early in order to pass some legislation. This week he's also meeting with Aboriginal representatives to work out the exact wording of the apology in Parliament.
How old is that? 3 days in and...
He's already talking about it. Although the papers are going, oh, I'm not sure if he's going to say sorry. And he's just like, I am going to say whatever the Aboriginal community want me to say. Now, that's
and
pretty
put,
damn
and
good.
And put an end to it. And put an end to it.
It'll probably include something like... John Howard is an asshole.
Yes, exactly.
He was an asshole. He'll always be an asshole. In fact, can he do a really big painting of him as an asshole?
Next to the paddle pop line.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot
and
happening.
He's ever so delicately pushed to the floor.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot happening in the next week.
So
keep an eye on what's going on. We'll have, of course, updates as much as we find interesting or can be bothered on www.blackforest.org.
And you will find that, yes, we are a week behind in show updates.
Now, what's actually going to happen with the shows? Because we're actually 2 weeks behind on shows. What I'm actually going to do...
I am a week behind.
Oh, you're a week behind on show updates. But I'm also a week behind on putting the shows up on podcasts. Because it's the show we did...
I'd just like to say that I am completely up to date.
Yep, you are.
In what you contribute.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I'm going to put up the pre-election show and this show together. So you can actually listen to it as one giant 3-hour narrative.
Why?
Because
I like the idea of it as two.
It sounds like a good idea. No, it's not going to be one. It's not going to be two. It's going to be two shows.
Well,
but I'm going to put them up at the same time.
You, instead of lying.
That's not what he said. What
That's
he said
what he
was
said.
There'd be 1 3-hour narrative.
Yeah.
You can listen to them as 1 3-hour narrative.
Right, well, that's enough of him.
That's enough.
Anyway,
of him.
Back over to you.
What can you do? Is that a core promise or a non-core promise?
Five minutes.
Tell me very quickly. And when do we actually do
some ball.
Something like that. I can't remember.
There wasn't one, Pete. So you're just delusional. There's not really much to report, really, other than Galaxy and Newspoll came out
couple of days before the election.
Yep.
Got it completely wrong.
52-48.
Said that the coalition was well on track to taking it back, yep. that it would be a very close race.
Yep.
Contrary to what we were saying last yep. week, in that it was going to be an absolute freaking landslide. Yep. Oh, funny. It was.
Yeah.
The only ones who got roughly close were...
Us.
Although we didn't spit out numbers because we had to keep them to ourselves for financial reasons. Yep. Financial reasons? What the fuck am I talking about?
I've no idea.
And but Morgan Poll actually did get it right within. Actually, they got the percentage points to within 1/10%.
Yeah, they were good.
So
and the Sky exit poll, as I said earlier, was right on the mark.
Wow.
So so on the day before, I mean, I don't even know what I'm saying because we don't know what it was. It was 53.5%. Was there their funding for the ALP two-party preferred? And
I think they ended up with 53.6.
Something like that. It was really close.
Noticed that there's an ebb and flow on the AEC website. When I last looked this afternoon, they were up by 5.8. No, it was a 5.85% swing.
Which wasn't universal. There were some seats where the swing was much lower than that.
Mm-hmm.
Like Rudd only got a 4% swing in his own seat. Yet there were some seats that were just stunning.
Well, actually, I was on a 2-point swing the other day, and that was enough to get me in the air.
Yep.
And a 3-point swing can be uncomfortable because then it has to kind of go between your legs. And if you fall off, you're stuffed.
Yeah, 4 minutes. the interesting thing would be if they took a poll now.
Yep.
As to who
where would they take this poll from? Would they take it from the playground? Would they take it perhaps from?
They could take it from John Howard's butt.
Yeah, that's very true.
They'd take it from the paddle pop line.
Yeah.
If they went out and they polled.
No, he doesn't have a poll. He's checked.
Do you think would make the best prime minister?
Yeah.
Who do you think would make the best prime minister? What the actual figures would be?
That's true. Because as we talked about last week, it was those who would be the best prime minister. John Howard's been prime minister for 11 years. How would you know what Kevin Rudd's going to be like?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So why don't you ask a question, who would be the best Prime Minister-elect?
See? Malcolm Turnbull.
Malcolm Turnbull.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I think it would be interesting to see if Australia's...
That one made me think.
Mm. No,
this brain's for thinking.
What happened
down
on
here
the,
for
a lot what of happened on the weekend has actually converted people. I mean, how many people are thinking now, look, the country's thought, I wish I could do my vote again.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Actually, seriously, I'm deadly serious here. That because there's this wave, there's this massive wave that the media, most of the liberals even, are saying that the liberals got it wrong.
Yeah.
Yep.
And this is the right thing for Australia.
Yep.
Whereas 1 week ago, nobody was really sure.
No.
But most of the country is now saying this.
Yep.
Yet the landslide doesn't say that the whole country thinks it's the right thing. I just think it would be interesting if they asked now how much of that clarity we now have for two or 3 days, how much bigger the election
I reckon the first poll, which will be about a month after Rudd takes power, will be Rudd on 75-80% preferred prime minister against whatever dross they tend to drag up.
If Rudd's smart and he finds the Senate isn't cooperating, I think he could call another election and win it.
Probably, but...
A double dissolution election?
Yeah, he
boom
might.
Boom shakalaka, win...
But I think
that would fly in the face a bit of saving money and all that sort of stuff.
I think you'll find that he'll get what he wants out of the Senate. They just don't care at the moment. They really just don't care. So
So a news poll got it completely wrong. Two-party preferred 48% for the coalition, 52% for Labor.
That's Uncle Roop Roop.
Well, not completely wrong. You know, they're 1.5 points out.
Yeah, yeah. That's fair enough.
Stuff which is not too bad when there's 24 million people in the country.
That's true.
And 80 seats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And obviously half of them who didn't show up to vote because they just needed more votes.
Oh, yeah, apparently.
That's all they needed was just more votes.
All you need is more votes and then you can get in.
So we'll see you next week. Walkbyforest.org is our website.
We'll be looking forward to Rudd's 5-year plan.
Exactly correct. I'm just looking forward to the paddle pop line running again in North Sydney.
Yes.
Because he could beat Joe Hockey.
Yeah.
And I've just got one little thing to say before we go out, and that is to sing, I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair. I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair. I'm going to add the rest of the lyrics. I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair.
How come he gets the last word?
Because it made sense. It was an obvious outro.
No, it wasn't. It was stupid. I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair. How long have you been preparing that for?
I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair.
You're going to wash that rud slide out of your hair.
With Claire all loving.
Can I just say something then?
Yes.
Who the fuck is John Howard?
Sorry, what was that? Was that the end?
Your turn.
I'd just...
You can do one.
I'd actually like to thank people who voted for Labour for the first time.
Oh,
and
you're
I hope,
nice.
And I hope
this is
that,
what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about.
And I hope that they do us all proud.
Yes.
And it looks like it's going down the right path now, so let's all just have faith, unite behind them, and make this a better place to live.
I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair.
Can I kill him now?